Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning into Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patty. Today we are going to be talking about a kind of touchy subject, and that is the victim mentality. Kind of like the why me, feeling oppressed, feeling kind of powerless, and feeling like a victim. Now, what's interesting about this is it's a very negatively charged emotional title, right? Emotional label. Because people often yell at each other, stop being a victim, or you're just being a victim. I hear it often in my private practice, and I hear it between couples a lot. And it's something we need to look at. Now, I want to differentiate here because we're not talking about a victim of a crime or a rape victim or someone who truly has been traumatized by really negative, illegal, oppressive behavior or dangerous behavior. That's a different kind of powerlessness and a different kind of trauma that needs to be recovered from. The victim mentality that I'm talking about is that kind of thing where you feel powerless in a relationship. And again, not the kind of relationship, like I'm not talking about a sex trafficking relationship or something like that. I'm talking about a basically good marriage or basically healthy relationship, maybe not so healthy. But in those relationships, often one partner might feel more like a victim or more oppressed or more controlled. And there's a certain mentality that goes with that. And that's what I want to talk about today, because this is so easily fixed if everybody's on board to take a healthier look at this. Okay, so I hope I've explained what I'm going to talk about well. So let's look at the idea that this emotionally charged title of being a victim is sort of true in your relationship for one or both of you. Let's look at the behaviors that make someone a victim. What will happen is blaming your issues or your actions on someone else. So you don't exactly know how to take responsibility for your part in stuff. You feel picked on. You often feel like you're complaining a lot or you can't get anywhere. You feel stuck, miserable. And the most important emotion and state of mind that somebody who is in a victim stance will feel is powerless. Powerless to change themselves, powerless to change the relationship, powerless to have a voice and speak up. So that's one of the things we're going to work on today. By the end of this show, I hope you totally understand what being a victim looks like and how you can change your behavior so you don't feel so powerless in the situation you're in. Now, the relationships that we're talking about where you can feel like a victim can be your significant other relationship, your marriage, your significant other boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever you want to call it. It could also be your place of employment. It could be feeling like a victim within your family unit. I often hear family drama where somebody says the whole entire family picks on me. I'm the scapegoat. Everybody's always teasing me and telling me I'm worthless and stupid in some form or other. And so they feel very much like a victim at family events. So let's look at the idea that you might feel this way. So let's take off the label, the emotionally charged label of, oh, you're a victim, cut it out. Just don't do that. Because that's kind of the mentality of it is just don't do that. Stop being a victim. You have to understand it first, and then you have to know how to behave differently. So why do people get into that victim role? It's kind of self-perpetuating in that you feel really powerless and bad so that you feel even more powerless and bad, and you feel like you don't stand up for yourself even more, and you get picked on or feel forsaken or feel left out even more, and it's a self-perpetuating kind of cycle. But what do victims get out of it? What's the gain? Why would somebody keep doing this? Often people that are oppressed like this feel that they don't have a voice because they're not heard. Sometimes they don't try to be heard because they just can't stand the controversy or the fight that might happen if they stood up for themselves. So they avoid that responsibility of speaking up and standing up for themselves. And I'll tell you something that's really interesting. I have seen people who are total victim mentality when it comes to themselves. They let people walk all over them. They're kind of a doormat. They never stand up for themselves. They hate controversy. They don't want to deal with, you know, arguing and stuff like that with people, but will stand up for their children. Now, isn't that interesting? They'll go all mama bear on somebody for picking on their kid, but won't say a word about somebody picking on them. So if that's you, the good news is you know how. The bad news is you don't value yourself enough to do it for yourself. So that's part of what we're going to learn today. So if you're smiling and going, yeah, pick on my kid and you've got a tiger by the tail, but pick on me and I'll roll over and let you beat me up emotionally or physically even. Okay, so that avoidance of confrontation is sometimes what the victim is trying to do. They don't want to deal with the controversy. But also, at times, playing that victim role or getting stuck in that victim role can be very manipulative. It can be to gain sympathy and evoke compassion in other people. It can be the drama. Some people just love drama. I know there's some of you out there going, really? I hate it. There's others that crave drama. Things get too quiet and too calm and going easy and smoothly, and they've got to create a stink somewhere because the drama fuels their energy. Also, victims can often have righteous indignation. Look at what this boss is doing to me, or look at what I go through for work, or look at what I go through in my family, or, okay, fine, I'm going to go to Thanksgiving, but when I leave, I'm going to feel horrible. I know I will because everybody will be talking down to me the whole time I'm there. So there's kind of a righteous indignation about how that works. So avoiding responsibility, it's not my fault. And the other one is a thing I call yeah, but yous. You say to someone who's the victim, hey, you didn't do all the stuff you promised to do. And they're, yeah, but you don't do all your stuff. The yeah, but you is not me. You do it too. Or don't look at me. Look at your own behavior because I don't want to talk about my behavior. It's too difficult. All right. So I hope you're getting kind of a flavor of what I mean by this victim mentality in relationships and within families. So we're going to dissect this further. I want you to really understand it, and I want you to understand how it occurs and how it happens. And then by the end of the show, I want to give you tools to fix it. We'll be back in a minute.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spend at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about victims. But I'd like to take a second to thank Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, for allowing us to use his music on our show. He is an incredible artist, musician, and his music is just beautiful. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out all six of his CDs. They're all different. They're all beautiful. He's award winners, played all over the world. Native American Flutist of the Year and Lifetime Achievement Award for 2020. He's incredible. You can pull him up on YouTube, Spotify, CD Baby, everything. Also, Randy's going to be playing at the Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, where the Wall of Remembrance is going up for the Vietnam vets. I will be playing Native American flute as well. Randy will be there doing some Cherokee prayers for our vets and playing music. And it's going to be awesome. July 28th through August 1st in Anderson. Battlefields Expressions is putting it on, and it's going to be absolutely beautiful thing for our veterans. Okay. Getting back to talking about victims. All right. So the victims in relationships often don't know the difference between I can't fix this and I won't fix this. So when you feel oppressed, when you feel like somebody is putting you down, taking advantage of you, doing something that makes you feel really badly within that relationship, you've got to stop and say, is this an I can't do anything about it because I'm unable to do anything about it, or I won't do anything about it because I'm unwilling to deal with it? Those are something for you to hold on to as we talk about this some more, and to hold on to when I give you some tools at the end. So when you're thinking about listening to this and saying, yeah, I do that, that's my partner all the time, think in terms of unable or unwilling, because there's a difference. So let's talk about how getting into this victim mentality is self-perpetuating and how it can keep going. Let's start out with the idea of negative self-talk. Negative self-talk is that little voice in the back of your head that's putting you down or telling you can't do it or judging you or telling you to be quiet. Nobody here wants to hear what you have to say. The one that as you're walking into your family of origin's house for Thanksgiving says, oh, God, I know what's going to happen while I'm in here. Oh, I don't want to go in here. Okay, why did I come? That's that little voice. Now, sometimes you can think of it on one shoulder, there's a devil, and on the other shoulder, there's an angel, and the devil's going, run, they all hate you. And the angel's saying, oh, come on, it's your family. That's called your self-talk, the little voice in the back of your head. When you feel like a victim, that self-talk is very debilitating. It says to be quiet, you aren't worthy. Why does someone treat you like this? It's not your fault. You don't deserve it. That person is mean. What are they doing? And your self-talk is very negative, demeaning, and powerless. What happens with negative self-talk is it lowers your self-esteem. So if you already felt like you weren't worthy or lovable or somebody who should be treated with respect, that negative self-talk makes you feel worse. So your self-esteem lowers. Then your real behavior, that's the behavior you actually do, not the behavior that you think you should do, but what you actually do becomes powerless. Because your negative self-talk has basically told you that you're worthless and your self-esteem has gone down and you feel more powerless, then your behavior begins to look powerless, not focused, and self-incriminating, like, I don't deserve to be treated with more respect. When that cycle happens of negative self-talk and low self-esteem and powerless kind of behavior, then your negative self-talk is more and stronger because you've basically just justified it. You've said, see, I don't deserve to be treated with more respect. I'm such a weakling. I can't believe I put up with that. Or, boy, I can't stand how that person treats me because they're mean and they're horrible and I don't know what to do with them. So more bad things begin to happen. And then you begin to see the world as against you. So you feel less empowered, more powerless. You feel like you aren't being treated as you should be getting treated by the world. And then that all leads to feeling angry and depressed, lonely, isolated, resentment of people that you see have it all, or have a loving spouse, or have somebody that understands them. It can lead to powerless feelings, and across the board, whether it's powerless to do better at work or powerless to discipline your children in a healthy way. It's a negative spiraling cycle that brings you down with it. And one of the things that all of that can lead to in relationships is that opens the door for infidelity, for having affairs, for divorce, for breaking up your relationship, because you start to feel like your partner doesn't get you, you feel less than, you feel oppressed and lonely, and then somebody else is nice to you, and you're starving, and they're throwing you some crumbs, and then pretty soon you're looking for more. And that's how affairs can start in marriages. That's one way, and there's several ways. You can listen to Why People Cheat, my podcast on why people cheat. But this is one way within a victimization situation that the victim begins to look for a way out, and they're looking for somebody to validate them that they are worth something. So they begin to look for someone else who's going to treat them nice. What you will hear people say that are in a victim role, that have gotten pushed into that victim place, either by their own accord or by a domineering spouse or by just the back and forth negative stuff that can happen in relationships, they'll say things like, you always pick on me. You're always telling me how I'm screwing up. I can't do anything right. I can never please you. You're mean. You don't ever appreciate stuff I do for you. Why is everything always my fault? Those are the statements that you hear out of someone who feels like a victim. And they'll also try to flip it around. Yeah, but you do this. The yeah, but yous. It isn't just me. You're also blah, blah, blah. And they try to flip it around to even out the score. Those are victim statements. Now, let's not go back to an oppressed kind of label. Like, it's such a negative, difficult label, this being a victim thing. But what it means is instead of you rising up and talking to the person that you feel oppressed by and that you feel is mean to you, you're not handling it in a way that makes you stand up tall and say no. Kind of like you would if they were doing that to your child. You might go and talk to a teacher or talk to someone at school or talk to one of your kids' friends and say, look, this is an appropriate behavior. But you might feel empowered to do that because you're doing it for someone you love. There's a key phrase, you guys. You're doing it for someone you love. So what would happen if you loved yourself enough to say, I deserve to be treated with kindness and respect. I don't like it when this is an oppressive, demeaning, controlling relationship. And I don't want to allow this to happen. And if you would look at your children and say, I'm not going to allow that to happen. Or you might even stand up for a total stranger in the grocery store who's being oppressed by somebody. You need to learn how to stand up for yourself. It's important. And you need to be able to look at it and say, why is this happening and how did this start? So how is your self-esteem if you feel like you're a victim. Now let's look at what I hear a lot of in my practice. My spouse, my partner, my boss, my someone is constantly saying how the poor me's and I'm a victim. And I don't know how to deal with them. I try to talk to them about something that's going on or a problem that we have, and all they say is, God, I can never do anything right for you. You always pick on me. Why are you always telling me that I'm screwing up? What about you? And there's no having an adult responsibility conversation that goes well. What that tells me is that you don't have the communication skills between you to have an effective conversation, and you don't have the conflict resolution skills between you. If you go back to my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and listen to communication basics and conflict resolution and fair fighting, you'll get some basic skills that if both of you use those skills, you can begin to have conversations that don't make one of you a victim. It's important for you to be able to do that. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to give you some examples of some relationships that the victim mentality kind of really stands out and it is harming the relationships. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Medical advances have given us the gift of longevity. It also gives us a moving target when we're planning retirement. Because of this, some people haven't been able to live the lifestyle they're accustomed to. The good news? Reverse mortgages have been refined over the years. This gives us a great multifaceted tool for retirement. You could eliminate your house payment or buy an asset you always wanted without suffering the penalties from cashing in an investment. There are literally hundreds of scenarios, but the end product is you could live your life more comfortably. My name is Rich Pinnell with Primary Residential Mortgage, and I'm a reverse mortgage specialist. I've spent years helping seniors with financial issues solve their problems, and I would like to help you too. You can find me at Primary Residential Mortgage, 530-722-4579, or go to rich4reverses.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about victims and how that happens in relationships, how one person can become oppressed and feel put upon and disrespected, and it all starts to fall apart from there. I want to tell you a story about my childhood. My dad was extremely intelligent. He was like a mathematical genius, electronical engineer, commander in the Navy. Very exacting, kind of black and white, very pragmatic. And if you ever were complaining about being oppressed in our family, like if you ever said something like, why me, or why do I have to do that, or anything like that, my dad would look at you and go, oh, why don't you go out in the backyard and eat some worms? And they'd start singing that song. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. Big, fat, juicy ones. Long, skinny, slimy ones. I'm going to eat some worms. I hated that song. Because every time you acted like your boo-boo lip was out and somebody was oppressing you, you could count on my dad. And then later my mom joined him singing that song to you, which meant stop being a victim. I didn't know that when I was a kid. I just knew that I didn't like somebody saying, oh, what's the matter? Are you going to eat some worms because you're so put upon? And it's kind of funny now. It wasn't funny when I was a kid. But I think what my parents were trying to do is to say, suck it up, buttercup, and get busy because you don't get to be a victim here. Now, maybe that contributed to me having a strong personality and being pretty assertive. I don't know. But that's kind of what we're talking about here. When you feel like you're going to go out and eat some worms because somebody's mistreating you, it's your call to consciousness that you're feeling like a victim. If you're using all those phrases like, why me, and I can't do anything right, and why are you always picking on me, and why do you tell me I screw everything up, and can't I ever do anything to please you? If you're using those kind of phrases, then you feel like a victim in your relationship. And the antidote to that is how to do it differently, and that's what we're going to cover in the last section of the show. But I want to give you some examples of relationships that I see. I do a ton of couples work, and I often see couples fall into this pattern. One couple that I dealt with for a long time, he was a very black and white personality, very strong-minded, had a certain way of doing things, was very intelligent and very proficient. But everyone in the family often felt like no matter what they did, he would tell them how they could have done it better, that they downright did it wrong. He'd be curt and angry and demeaning to others in the family. And everybody walked on eggshells around him. When they came into family therapy and everybody was saying he's the problem, he was saying they're the problem because they don't pull their weight. So as the family began to communicate and the three people, the mom and the two kids, began to stand up and say, this is oppressive, basically. Now, that's my word. But they were saying, we feel scared in our own house, and we walk on eggshells, and we're constantly worried about making you mad. So we're always running around like chickens with our heads cut off trying to please you, and nothing ever pleases you. And we feel badly, and we don't. They were basically saying, we love you and care about you, but we don't like you, and we don't like living with you. In the example that I'm thinking of, he kind of heard them, he kind of tried to make some changes, but it was definitely his personality. And the mom ended up divorcing him. They'd been together quite a number of years. The kids were young teenagers when they came in for family therapy. Mom ends up leaving him and divorcing him. The kids don't particularly want to be at dad's house. He's difficult, and his house is always perfect. And if you mess it up or anything like that, you're in trouble. So they had a much more happy and relaxed life with their mom after they got divorced. And it was kind of sad. Now, could this guy have changed? Could he have lightened up? Maybe. If it had all been tackled earlier rather than waiting till 15 years or so into the marriage, that this had gone on for a very long time and it had moved to a place where the people didn't like each other anymore. That's one of the things that's very important here. You have to be able to shift this in your relationship for it not to go on and on and not to destroy the relationship to a point where it's too little too late when you change. So let's take another example. We've got a basically healthy relationship. They come in and start talking about how she feels put down and oppressed because he's not doing anything that helps, and she's angry about that, and so she's constantly kind of begging him to help, and he doesn't do that, and then he gets sort of mad at her that she's asking him to do more than he feels he should do, and there's this tension between them, and each of them feels like the other one doesn't respect, they don't respect each other. And each of them walks on eggshells around the other one because any time there's any kind of controversy or conflict, it turns into a big old fight. So they start to get silent and pull away and feel oppressed and feel like the other one is kind of disrespectful and mean. And it destroys the relationship a little bit at a time. That is a formula for divorce in the future, or splitting up of your relationship, because you don't want to feel like that forever. The relationships that last a lifetime are the ones where you feel valued and important and you feel loved. And it doesn't mean they're perfect all the time. There can be problems. But the ones that I see that are the healthiest have a way to deal with conflict when it occurs. The ones that don't do well are the ones that when there's conflict, they shut up, pull away, walk on eggshells, say nothing, hope it goes away, and just stuff the resentment down deep inside. That doesn't work. So look at the power differential in your relationship. Does one of you seem to have more power than the other? And what does power look like? Power to control the conversation, power to control the money, the constant disappointment in how things are done or not done, how money is spent. Look at the power differentials in your relationship. The two that I tend to look at a lot are financial and the sexual relationship. When there is a real inequity in the financial relationship, like one person controls all the money, or one is a super saver and one is a super spender, and they're constantly fighting about that, that is a real indication that they don't have good communication or conflict resolution. When I see a power differential in a sexual relationship where there's like two different libidos and one person is oppressed and feeling like a victim and one is feeling left out or lonely or not satisfied enough, that power differential in the sexual relationship is a real insight into the soul of your relationship, your communication, and your conflict resolution. And those are things I look for a lot in my practice. So let's look at the idea that when one of you or both of you are flipping back and forth between who's feeling the most disrespected or the most walking on eggshells, or can't do anything right, or feeling like you're just not rising up in the relationship enough to be an equal with each other, those are signs that you're feeling like a victim. And if you're constantly doing drama or manipulation or trying to be heard or looking for any kinds of crumbs thrown at you that show you're being good because the person is critical and demeaning, then you've fallen into the role of being a victim in this relationship, and it needs to change. And that's one of the huge things, is what do you do when it needs to change and you don't know what to do? Some people just hold it and hold it and hold it until they say, I'm leaving, I want a divorce, I'm out of here, I can't do this anymore. And they don't try to speak up to change things. Some people try over and over again to make things change, to make it healthier. Sometimes a person changes for a week or 10 days, or maybe even you get squeak it out a month and things are better, and they slowly go back to the old oppressive behavior that's disrespectful and puts the other person down. So when do you know, when is it time to leave? When is this feeling like a victim something you've tried to rectify and can't? Or the person hasn't tried hard enough to change it, or they haven't held the changes long enough. So knowing when to leave is difficult. And I'm not saying just leave, because often there are children involved. Divorce absolutely changes children's lives. Sometimes staying is oppressive and horrible and more victimizing than putting your kids through a divorce. But it's something you need to look at. When should I leave? When should I let go? Two of the podcasts that I've done, you can look at Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast. One of them's called Letting Go, and that's trying to figure out when do I leave? When do I let go? And the other one is Should I Stay or Should I Go? And it helps you kind of look at yourself and your relationship and say, what do I want and what do I need to do for my own protection, for my kids, for this? So let's look at the idea of feeling like a victim can go on that scale. We talk about a scale sometimes because things are often not black or white. You're not a victim or not a victim. Let's go on a scale of 0 to 10. 10 being a horribly oppressed victim with no voice and powerless in the relationship, and you've been this way for a long time and you've tried to change it and you don't know how and you can't, and you're just really in a difficult, unhealthy, abusive situation. Now let's look at those little things where you basically have a decent relationship, but you can't really talk to your partner about anything going wrong, because if you do, they get defensive, they yab at you, it's not my fault, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have gotten mad at you. So the little things that make you feel like, I just can't communicate with this person and tell them when I'm feeling badly. Where do you fall on that scale? And if you feel like your spouse plays the victim all the time, because I hear that a lot, oh, he's such a victim or she's such a victim, where do they fall on that scale? How oppressed and controlled do they feel? How often do they feel like their boo-boo lip is out and they feel picked upon and not understood and like they don't have equal power in their relationship? This is just important for you to figure out, where are you and where is your spouse, and how does this fall in that whole idea of being a victim? So we're looking at your self-esteem. First, your self-talk, is it negative or positive? How does that affect your self-esteem? And how does your self-esteem affect your real behavior? Not what you think you do or you want to do, your real behavior, what you actually do. Because your behavior speaks volumes, far more than your words. You might say, I'm not a victim, because you get angry and scream and yell, but your behavior might show that you have that whole victim mentality of why me and poor me and I'm getting picked on and I don't stand up for myself. There's a difference. So stop and take a look at that, at your real, true behavior. If you're walking around a lot saying, why me, and you're mean, and I can't do anything right, and I can never please you, you're feeling like a victim. Now you have to say, why are you powerless? Why have you not stood up and learned to communicate about how you feel? All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to teach you how to begin to do this differently, because you do not have to be a victim forever. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
It's July, and Black Bear Diner is celebrating red, white, and blue all month. Start your morning with two sweet cream pancakes topped with fresh sliced strawberries, our house-made blueberry topping, and whipped cream. Or finish off your favorite Black Bear Diner meal with our California cheesecake, drizzled with blueberry and strawberry toppings, plus whipped cream. Come visit us at the diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive in Redding, or order at blackbeardiner.com for takeout and delivery.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I love that. Sounds like a storm. This is Dr. Patty. Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. That's from one of Randy McGinnis's CDs. It's beautiful. Before we go on, I just wanted to do a shout-out to all the people dealing with the fires in Northern California. It's pretty darn smoky out there. It's really horrible. And we're just, the state's burning up again, you guys. So it's hard. It's traumatic on people. And I just want you to know I'm thinking about you, having gone through the car fire and all that stuff that was pretty horrendous around here. There's people that are losing their homes and dealing with all of this. And my thoughts and my prayers and my hope for your safety is going out to you. Okay, so we're talking about how do you stop being a victim? The first thing you have to do is you have to see it. You have to say, am I fitting this thing that Dr. Patty's talking about? No, not me. She's that way. Or not me. He's that way. You got to see it. And that the first thing you have to do is see it in yourself. It's very easy to point a finger at somebody else and say, you're acting like a victim, or you need to go out and eat worms because poor me, look at what you're doing. You've got to see it in yourself, because the only one that can change you is you. Now, if you're smart, you will hear the people around you who might be telling you that you're an oppressive person, or you're mean, or you're controlling. If you are the person who's making others feel like a victim, you might be saying, I'm the victim of their incompetence, or their laziness, or they don't help me enough, or they don't do anything right. And so you may still feel like a victim and be acting out toward others because they're not supporting you in the manner that you think they should. It's a subtle difference, isn't it? You might be, if I stood back and looked at the behavior in your household, I might see you as more of the oppressor and the black and white person who is very exacting and demanding, and you might feel like the total victim because you're surrounded by people who are incompetent. There's a difference, isn't there? So you've got to stop and take a look at yourself. Do you feel oppressed and like a victim and like you have to deal with other people's behavior that makes life difficult for you? So that's the first step. Am I a victim? And why? Then you have to want to change it. If you're a victim of somebody else's attitude, like that one example I gave you of someone who's really black and white and exacting and made everybody really uncomfortable in the house because they couldn't do anything right. If you're that person who's making your household feel like that, it's important for you to recognize that. But if you're on the flip side of that, and you've got somebody that you walk on eggshells and you can't do anything right, and you're afraid for them to walk in the door and you're sitting on the couch taking a break or having a lazy day or even a lazy half hour, and you're going to be in trouble for not getting your stuff done, or you're feeling just like you're walking on eggshells. Those are the things that's important for you to understand and see. That's where you might be feeling like a victim. So you've got to see it. Then you have to want to change it. This is that thing called, that I call, you got to wanna. You got to wanna change it. Which means I'm tired of this, I want to own my part of it, and I want to do things differently. So how do I learn to hold what somebody's telling me? How do I learn to own it or not own it? And how do I shift myself from being a victim into somebody who listens to what's being said? So are you approachable? If, let's say the super exacting person in your house is the one who comes up to you and says, you loaded the dishwasher wrong. I had to redo the whole thing. And you say, okay, show me how I loaded it incorrectly. And go listen to what they have to say. Now, let's say you don't agree with them. And you say, you know, it's really not important to me how the dishwasher's loaded. Or I see the point you're making and I don't care. Or I'm not going to do it that way just because you want me to, and you can't make me, and I'm not going to show that you have control over me by now I'm going to load the dishwasher exactly like you want me to do it. Not happening, dude. All right, so let's say that's the dynamic. If you don't want to be a victim, and the other person comes to you and says, you loaded the dishwasher all wrong, I want you to picture that they just plopped something in your hands. Okay? And usually what I say is it's kind of like dog poop, because I can't say what I really call it, or my producer will beat me, because I can't say that word. So somebody plopped a big stinky, steamy mess of dog poop in your hands. And you're going to take a look at it. You're going to say, what does this mean? Okay, tell me what you mean by I loaded the dishwasher wrong. Show me. So you're not getting defensive. You're not doing the yeah, but yous. You never sweep floor right or anything like that. You're saying, okay, show me. Then the person goes and shows you how you didn't load the dishwasher correctly. And you're looking at this steamy mess of stuff in your hands. You're not going to put it in your heart and say, oh, I'm a bad person, I can't even load the dishwasher. You're not going to throw it back on them like, oh, yeah, but you do this, you do that. You're not going to smear it all over the room in a big, huge argument. You're always telling me I do everything wrong. I can't do anything to please you. Oh, my God, what is with you? You are just, like, so mean. Sound like any of the conversations in your house? What you're going to do is say, show me. And then the person shows you how you're doing the dishwasher wrong. Then you communicate. You can either say, I can do that. That's not a problem. Thank you for letting me know. I didn't know that that was a better way to load the dishwasher. Or you can say, you know, I see that you want me to load the dishwasher like that, but I don't agree with you. I think the dishes would do better if I load it my way. Or you can say, let's look it up. Let's Google it. Let's research it. Let's figure out what would be the best way to do the dishwasher. Or you can say, this really isn't worth fighting about. If it's important to you that I load the dishwasher in that way, I'm happy to do so. Or you can be honest and say, you know what? Because you're asking me to, and because I want to buck everything that you say so that I can show you that you don't control me, I am purposely not going to load the dishwasher like you're asking me to. Now think about that. What does the victim do? The victim gets angry and ticked off and feels oppressed and says, yeah, but yous, and you always tell me I'm doing it wrong. They don't communicate back honestly. And sometimes honesty is, I don't really care enough about the dishwasher to load it correctly. And what is that saying to the other person? If it's important to them, are you saying, I don't care how you want me to load the dishwasher because I'm tired of you controlling every stupid little thing I do. You yell at me for how I make the bed. You yell at me for the dishwasher. I can't sweep the floors right. I didn't do this right. I didn't do that right. I'm tired of it. I'm going to stop accommodating and walking on eggshells and trying to please you all the time because it's not fair. So it isn't about the dishwasher, is it? It's about feeling controlled and oppressed. And that's a conversation that you have not been having if that's where you want to go. Which tells your therapist sitting in the room with you, you're not communicating, you don't have conflict resolution skills, you're not really telling each other how you truly feel, and you're not speaking up for yourself. So, you've got to see what's getting plopped in your hands and stand back and say, how have I been handling this? And how have I been trying to do it in a passive-aggressive manner or a silent manner or avoiding responsibility or trying not to speak out loud about how I feel? What part have I played in me feeling like a victim, in my own victimization? That's one of the hardest things for someone to look at. And invariably, the answer is you are not standing up for yourself in a communicative, healthy manner. Now, I've known lots of victims that hold it and hold it and hold it and hold it until they blow up like a volcano. And they scream and they yell and they cry and they storm out and they want a divorce and they finally blow. That's not communication, guys. That's holding it until you blow. Really good communication is saying, how do I contribute to this situation where I feel badly about myself, I feel oppressed, I feel like I don't have a voice, I feel like my partner's controlling everything, and I don't like this. I need to find a way to communicate not just the specifics, the dishwasher, but the overall feeling of I don't have a voice and I feel powerless in this relationship. You might need a tour guide a therapist that's going to help you figure out how to do that. And the really cool thing is that this can be a gift. When you stop and look at how you have suppressed yourself and you don't have a voice and you're not communicating, my guess is that that is happening in other portions of your life, not just with your partner. It's probably happening with your kids, with your boss, with your job, in the neighborhood, wherever. Can you stop and say, what do I feel? Because the opposite of being a victim is speaking up, not holding it until you explode all over everybody with your own anger and vile stuff, but stopping and saying, how do I speak up about the places that I feel powerless, and how have I created this for myself? You have to learn to stand in your truth. That if you go to listen to any of my other podcasts, that's one of the ones you've got to hear. It's called Stand in Your Truth, and it's how do I feel? How do I figure that out? Then how do I find my voice to stand in my truth with assertiveness, not being passive-aggressive, not being aggressive, exploding all over everybody, but standing in your truth in a productive, communicative way. So go to Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and find Stand in Your Truth. It's on Spotify, iTunes, any podcast forum. You can find it. They're all over the place. Okay, so it's important to recognize that this gift of allowing yourself to see how you have become a victim is really, really powerful and can change your whole life. It can change your relationship for the better. It can change your self-esteem so that you find where you're worthy and you can begin to love yourself like you love your kids, like you would stand up for them. So this is work you can do, and it's powerful for you, and it's powerful for your relationship, and it can help your family become healthy and happy. Victims aren't generally very happy. So if you want to find the happiness and the peace in your life, take a little bit to say, how am I behaving like a victim? As opposed to, how are you treating me badly? How am I allowing this and not finding my voice? It's really important. All right. Well, I hope you've learned something today, and I hope that this show makes you want to change, because you gotta wanna to create the change in your life. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.